Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Matthew Wells at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's programme, men and boys need to start thinking differently about gender for the sake of true sexual equality. And despite the heavy fighting of recent days in South Sudan, one mother there tells us of her hope and dream for peace, 5 years on from independence. But first, vulnerable girls in their early teens are the Sustainable Development Goal, or SDG, generation, whose well-being should be the standard by which we judge the success of the ambitious 2030 global goals. That's according to Babatunde Osotemehin, Executive Director of the UN Population Fund, UNFPA, speaking ahead of World Population Day on Monday. He told me why they'd chosen this year's theme of investing in teenage girls and why it was so important to help them thrive by 2030.
Looking at and trying to focus attention on investing, especially in the 10 to the 40-year-old who actually don't get any investment and people don't look at them. All the statistics that we do collect, we start from 15. When we look at what goes on in the lives of these young girls, they are the ones who are married off early. They're the ones who are open to the issues of female genital mutilation. They're the ones who never actually are able to go to school and stay in school. So we felt that we have to redirect attention to them so that we can begin to get traction around them. If we look at the SDGs and what we have to do with the Sustainable Development Goals, girls matter. I always say that the 10-year-old girl today will be 25 by the time we finish implementing the Sustainable Development Goals. She's the SDG generation. She's the one that we will track and see whether we've done well. And basically, how we treat her, how we protect her, how we make sure that she gets an education, protecting her rights, preventing gender-based violence, preventing early and forced marriage.
Investing in teenage girls as much as boys, to some extent, of course, it's flying in the face of cultural tradition in many parts of the world. I mean, how do you convince mostly male politicians and leaders in these countries that it's necessary and the right thing to do?
We've been able to engage with them. The economic argument is one which many people buy. What she brings back in terms of dividend, a demographic dividend in the long term, is one in which she actually contributes to the growth of our own economy and the economy of our community. And sometimes, I try to locate it at a personal level. So I asked them, do you have a daughter? Would you like your daughter to be married off at the age of 6? He says, no. Okay, fine. So we're talking. Would you like your daughter to go to school and get a degree and be able to be self-determined? He said, yes, okay. Talking to politicians and religious leaders and community leaders, we're able to persuade them that, there is no culture, we should condone this. And that does not mean that we are not going to look after boys. We look after boys as well.
Men and boys are being encouraged to think differently about gender relations in order to achieve full equality between the sexes. The call has been made by Lakshmi Puri, Deputy Executive Director of UN Women, who says gender equality is critical to realising social and economic change, as well as sustainable peace following conflict. Pierre-Marc René caught up with Ms. Puri in Mexico, where she attended the recent Forbes Powerful Women Summit. She spoke about empowering women in the country and worldwide, in line with the Sustainable Development Goals.
First of all, my message is for the celebrated women whose struggles and achievements represent the struggles and achievements of the 3.5 billion women around the world, but also to say how Mexico has a very important role to play, not only in being pioneers and pathfinders in achieving the Gender Equality Compact of Agenda 2030, including SDG 5 on achieving gender equality and empowering all women and girls, but that it has a regional role. It has a global role.
The empowering women in the world, what is the importance of them for the politic, economic and social development?
Well, Agenda 2030 has said it all. Gender equality is an end in itself, but it is the most critical means to sustainable development in economic, social and environmental dimensions. without women's needs being addressed in the context of conflict and peace building, you will not have peace and sustainable peace. And also that they are critical peace actors. They can prevent and they have prevented conflict, but also that they have been very effective and can be effective peacemakers and peace builders.
And you ask for men too to participate into the empowering women. So I would like to know how the men can do this too.
It is, as they say, a no-brainer, that gender equality is about changing the existing social, economic, political norms and structures. And unless those who hold a position of privilege and dominance agree and engage and really become actively involved in that change, change will be very difficult to happen. So it is very, very important, indispensable, that men and boys are conditioned from childhood, that's one thing, to think differently about gender relations. And even those men who have grown up differently, but they now make a big shift in their mindsets and defy and deconstruct gender stereotypes and become real agents of change.
One mother from South Sudan has been speaking of her dream and hope of a peaceful nation at last, 5 years on from the country's independence. The capital of the world's newest nation was plunged back into violent chaos in the last few days as rival military forces confronted each other on the streets. After more than 2 years of civil war, 700,000 South Sudanese are refugees in neighbouring countries. One mother who hopes to return home now has been living under UN protection for more than 2 years. And she's been telling Jacob Ruai about her hopes for a brighter future.
My name is Elizabeth Gadwech. I'm a mother in Bentiu. As a mother in South Sudan, independence means a lot to me because before independence, we did not have an identity. And after independence, we got an identity where we have been identified as South Sudanese and we are no longer called refugees. And my children also, as they move among the people, they live in other countries, they are identified as South Sudanese. They are not identified as refugees. That is the most important thing about the independence, because it gave us identity.
Elizabeth, as you explained, why Independence Day for South Sudanese is very important. Please, can you tell us more about your life history before independent?
As a mother, before independent, I was living in a refugee camp where I was called as a refugee, where I did not have a freedom of movement, where I did not have a freedom of speech, and my children did not have a chance of getting a good education, because when you live in someone's country, it's like you're living in someone's house. You will not have access to everything. But when you have your right, and that is your identity in your country, and when now you are the independent, you'll have the right to speech, you'll have a right to movement, and you'll be secure where you are. And the children will have access to good healthcare, they'll have access to good education, and they will know that they have a country in whereby they will be proud of their country, and they'll be proud of who they are. But if there is no independence, you will never be proud of who you are, because you don't even know who you are, and people will not even identify you as somebody.
So what are your hopes and dreams for South Sudan as a citizen of South Sudan?
As a citizen in South Sudan and as a mother, I have a dream, a hope and a vision for South Sudan whereby we will have a peaceful nation, whereby the community will have peaceful coexistence among themselves, in which they'll forget about what has happened in the past and they will dwell in the present. And in a community, in a country where there will be love, there will be unity, there will be forgiveness. That is what we want for our children, because we don't want the hatred to continue. We don't want the unforgiveness to continue. We want to have peace. We want to have a country where you are secure. When you sleep at night, you don't worry what will happen in the night. When you don't even think what will happen in the morning, because the hope and the future that we have, all the South Sudanese, the youth, the mothers, the fathers, we should have a vision.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.